What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic Wednesday. Appreciate you guys hanging out here. Chris Meany with you. A lot to get to on the show. We have the Golf Writer of the Year, Alex Blickel, stopping by. He's hanging by right now. Actually, I see him in the green room. We're going to get to him in the next block. We're going to talk about the Texas Open, Valero Texas Open, and it is a different slate of golfers. If you hit an open or you hit an outright this week, you're gonna love it. You certainly are. It's not the same type of leaderboard as we're just, you know, a few days away from the Masters. Maybe a little bit of a Masters preview from Blickel too. I think he's going to be there. I think I heard that through the grapevine that he may be there next week, which is fantastic as well. Again, a lot to get to on the show. Lamar Jackson can't stay off Twitter, probably needs an agent. We've been talking about him over the past couple of days. We'll highlight him again and the latest on Lamar Jackson. A lot of teams that we've talked about on the show, potential suitors for Lamar Jackson, not interested at all. Washington Commanders, not interested at all. Speaking of the Washington Commanders, a big congratulations to our guy, Brian Cook, here today. He tweeted out this morning, blessed for the opportunity to be part of the Commanders organization. All of his experience through his time with the Cleveland Browns and here at FTN Network has allowed him to create a skill set and form relationships that are everlasting and fruitful. And for that, he is super appreciative. And we love the guy, right? He's been on this show multiple times. He was with us throughout the entire NFL season, every Thursday, previewing the Thursday night football game. You guys know, watching and listening here on iTunes and Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcasts. Cook, man, he brought it every single week. Super intelligent, very informative. He did a lot of great stuff for us over at FTN Data and you know, part of our data team. And he came in here with the goods. And, you know, we've chopped it up as well, you know, throughout the offseason about some of the prospects. And just has a really good feel. And I'm not surprised that he did land a job with the Washington Commanders. So congratulations to our guy, Brian Cook, here this morning. Rooting for him, all the success. And, you know, like I said, a really sharp mind and an even better dude, to be honest. Like, he's super well-deserving and I'm very happy for Mr. Brian Cook. We do see Daily Handle in the house as well. Yes, Blickel is a PTP. Congrats on winning Golf Writer of the Year. Good afternoon, Daily Handle. Let's go. A lot to get to here on this show. You may have to explain to the people what PTP is. I see a lot of PTP comments from you. I tongue-in-cheek, I kind of know. Primetime player, primetime performer, Alex Blickel and Brian Cook. We have some MLB predictions. Tomorrow is opening day. That's something I want to talk about with Alex as well. His role over at FTN Daily, you know, significant role, of course, the strikeout model. We have a lot of amazing tools and they just keep coming out. Man, we've been like 3 years. We're coming up on 3 years of FTN, you know, in August. And it feels like every other week or so, there's an amazing tool that can just help you in the DFS world, help you in the fantasy community, season-long players. I know there's a lot of season-long viewers out there as well, the old school people. And if you're just, you know, thinking about getting your feet wet into DFS, we'll talk about what we have to offer, but we still have our free trials as well at ftnbets.com/free, ftndaily.com/free, 3-day trials. This is a good time to get involved. You get the PGA optimizer. You're going to have the MLB optimizer. We just have a NASCAR optimizer now. Yes, that's right. A NASCAR optimizer. All the picks across all sports, tools, projections over at ftnbets.com. And like I said, we have a lot of tools and the same sort of deal over at FTN Daily. We have a Discord channel. I mean, several of them split up into sports. And with the package, you get all the sports, right? So this is a good time to hop on board here and see exactly what we have to offer. You will get a good taste of the MLB optimizer and the PGA optimizer for this weekend as well. We're going to take a quick break. As I mentioned, a lot to get to, only 3 games on the ice. We have some NHL picks and props towards the end of the show. The NBA playoff race is heating up as well. We were just trashing the Mavs the other day. They found a way to pick up a W against the Pacers. Thanks to Mark Cuban pulling some strings, making Luke, just that Luka tech just disappeared. You know, that 16th tech, it just went away somewhere. It was just gone, right? And then he was able to play and the Mavs pulled out a victory against the Pacers. But it is a crazy race in the Western Conference. We'll talk some NBA a little bit later on the show. Blickel's hanging by. Some golf here next on Mean Streets, presented by So Rare. Back in a couple. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare, as we're bringing Alex Blickle. Alex Blickle, one on the Twitter machine, the Golf Writer of the Year. What's going on, my man? Happy Wednesday. Welcome in. Thank you, as always.
Man, what an exciting time. We got Masters right around the corner. Baseball season starts tomorrow. It's fun.
Yeah, it really is fun. And I wanted to give a congrats to our guy, Brian Cook. Do you think he can help the Commanders find themselves a quarterback? I mean, they've only had 15 since Kirk Cousins has left.
Hey, if anyone can help them, it's him.
Yes.
But they're still the Commanders, right?
They still are. But do you have any thoughts at all on Lamar Jackson and what the heck is happening with him? Like, where does he end up? Your best guess. Where is Lamar Jackson playing football next year?
So I admittedly haven't been paying that close of attention just because I've been in the weeds of baseball data, PGA data for the last like 3 weeks or so. So I haven't had much time for a football discussion. But I did take note of the comments out of Indianapolis, like, hey, anytime a player of that caliber is out there, we're going to do our due diligence on it, whatever. So
yeah,
wouldn't surprise me if he ends up a Colt, but it kind of seems like he's going to have to maybe settle just a little bit and temper his expectations a bit, regardless of where he ends up.
Yeah, I do understand some teams maybe being a little hesitant to fork out the guaranteed money that he wants for the style of play that, you know, mm-hmm. comes with Lamar Jackson. And the Colts do have a history of trading some first round picks for some quarterbacks. Yeah, you and I are definitely aware of that. They've had mm-hmm. six different QBs since Andrew Luck. Really put them in a tough spot, decided to retire out of the blue a few years ago. But you and I are here to talk some baseball and talk some golf. We'll save some baseball for the next block. Let's talk the Valero Texas Open here. And as I mentioned off the top, dude, you nail an outright. You always have some great long shot outrights, and I'm sure the people are very happy about those picks that you present to them. But as we present the board via DraftKings, again, prop shop to get the best possible odds. You see Hatton up at the top at 12-1, and then Ricky at 18-1. So actually really like Ricky's game lately this season. I feel like he's had some really nice moments, but different board, no question, as you mentioned, with the Masters around the corner. Kim is here at 22-1. Hideki at 22-1 as well. Our guy Corey Connors, friend of the show, 22-1 as well. Listen, with this strategy here and picking outrights, is it just, are you thinking, wow, this is really an opportunity to take some deep long shots here because the field is a little bit weaker? So I will take some guys maybe outside the top 40, 50-1, really get nuts here with some long shots? Or do you also feel like, hey, you know, the top of the board, there is a gap between a few guys and the rest of the field that maybe there is a really good opportunity to jump on the top of the board where most weeks we're really not looking for that?
Yeah, I'm not really excited by the top of this board. One of the names that I was very interested in coming in the week, just waiting to see what number he would be, was Siwoo Kim. But I was hoping for 30 to 35, not 22. So I actually don't have anybody in this range. My only bet of the week is Nick Taylor at 45-1. I have that on BetRivers where it's an each-way bet. I don't know. I kind of feel like a lot of the books are maybe protecting themselves this week, knowing they're going to get a ton of handle next week at Augusta, and they don't want to be depleted, I guess, going into that week. So yeah, it seems to me like there are a lot of names this week that should be a little bit higher, and the books are kind of taking advantage of the fact that, hey, people are going to bet regardless. So just, right, you know, throw them towards the top of the board. You'll still get some action. And then the books know that they're in a pretty protected situation this week.
What is it about Taylor that you like for him this week?
Absolutely. Every aspect of his game has really been trending up. He's driving the ball really accurately. His iron play has been improved, and then he's always been quite good on and around the greens, but he's been a total stud in both of those areas lately. I think he's a really good fit for this course. The course fit model this week really points to around the green play as the main thing, and then you also have to be solid off the tee, and you have to be a very good putter. It's actually a week where iron play is diminished from a predictive standpoint.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about maybe some strategic statistics that you are taking a look at when you're putting together some bets or some DFS lineups. Is there a player or two that stands out to you from a DFS standpoint? I mean, this is, you always hear the stars and scrubs strategy when it comes to DFS. I don't know how many stars you'll have in the lineup this weekend.
I mean, Nick Taylor is up there. I think from a DFS perspective, the most interesting player is Hideki Matsuyama, because the neck injury is scaring almost everybody off of him. So he's the second best player in this field in my baseline expected strokes gained. He's the second best player in this field in my course fit expected strokes gained. And yet he's going to be quite contrarian this week. The neck is a concern. We saw last year that he started poorly in this event, played a really good front nine on Friday and said, you know what? I feel good. I'm going to duck out of this one and I'll be ready next week at Augusta. So that's possible. I think that's lingering in people's minds. But my take is sort of, if he's in contention, which if you're using him at $10,500, you're hoping that he is.
Yeah,
I think he'll stick it out. I think that he views the week prior to Augusta as one where he can really play himself into contention, feel the pressure that comes with that, and use that to be better prepared if he ends up in contention at Augusta. So I don't think that he wants to just use this as like a standard tune-up where he's just working on a few things in his game. I think he's here to compete, and I'm leaning at the moment towards taking the chance on him in DFS.
Nice. And you know, there's when every time you hear something like that with an injury, or you hear people talking on social media, doing other shows. And I know you had Feinberg on yesterday, You know, you hear that kind of stuff and people shy away, and it does create an opportunity, like a kind of buying window. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of great stuff for us. And one of my favorite things is the hot takes article. I guess there's really not a lot of hot takes, I suppose, this weekend, but as we get closer to the Masters, you will be there next week, which is super exciting. I love that. Fantastic. And any early takes when it comes to Masters? And no surprise, by the way, for people who are just getting into golf betting and looking at this board, this is something we usually see, right? We usually do see some top tier golfers, you know, take this week off as we, you know, inch closer to the Masters.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I have any hot takes for the Masters yet. I do have a hot take for this week, which is our boy Ricky Fowler is a fade for me. And I hate to say it because I'm rooting for him. But what a phenomenal story it would be if in his last opportunity to qualify for this year's Masters, he ends up with this win and gets into the field. But the way I put it in my hot takes article today was, whenever we're trying to pick players in PGA, we have to weigh the risk and reward of players with what their projected ownership is going to be. And this week, I think we have two very specific and very clear reasons why he'll be overowned. The first is, you know, he's been in great form, but most of that form has been with the irons. And as I said a little bit earlier, iron play is just diminished this week. You know, this week is a little bit more about stroke scan around the green and how accurate you are off the tee. In those areas, Fowler hasn't turned it around the way he has on the greens and with his iron play. So I'm a little bit hesitant for that reason. And then the biggest one is there's just this huge narrative around him where, hey, he couldn't possibly be more motivated. He needs to win to play at Augusta. Of course he wants to. And unfortunately, like, motivation is just not a predictor of success in PGA, right? Like, in what week over the last couple of years has Ricky Fowler not wanted to do well? And so if motivation was a predictor of success, then you would say, okay, he's clearly played well then over the last 2 years, but he hasn't. He's struggled. Why? Because unfortunately, it doesn't matter how badly you want to do well. Golf is really freaking difficult. You can want to do well all as much as you possibly can, and you can still end up sucking. So there's nothing really there in terms of like, hey, I know he's going to be motivated, so I want to back him this week. That's just not really a thing in golf. And I would argue it's not much of a thing in many sports, but it's definitely not in PGA.
Yeah, golf is super hard. Heck, I wanted to win my beer league hockey game last night. Guess what? We didn't win. I wanted to win so bad, tried so hard, couldn't get it done. Couldn't win. That is funny to hear that. And I feel like I always mentioned that doc with you, Free Swing, over at Netflix, but it just came to mind when you were talking about that, because Poulter was playing last year and talking about how he needed a win to get, I think it was to maybe the US Open, how he needed a W and he wanted it so bad, but just like at the end of the day, like you're competing with so many other players and the sport is very, very difficult for you to need a win in crunch time. And the pressure with that comes with that as well.
Right? Yeah,
you can have the motivation, but you also have that, like, I can't be messing up this shot. I can't be messing up this approach shot. I got to, you know, drain this putt. Like, there's a pressure element to that as well, Blake.
100%. Like, I don't like to go that route because I'm kind of saying, hey, fade any narrative in golf.
Yeah.
But yeah, you make a great point there that if you wanted to back a narrative here when it comes to Fowler, couldn't you just as easily make the case that, hey, he's feeling this extra pressure. It's going to be that much harder for him to convert and close out a win if he actually ends up in contention. So yeah, you can use any narrative really in PGA against a player just as quickly as you can for him. Personally, I'd rather just fade any narrative and say, I know that because this narrative exists, he's going to be higher owned than he otherwise would be. So I'll just fade him.
One of the funnest times of the year. It really is for all sports fans, as you mentioned. You know, baseball's around the corner here tomorrow, opening day. And then the Masters, I mean, those that have been following the work of some of our college basketball, the crew here at FTN has had a lot of success, and the Madness tournament has been thrilling. It's surprising as well. It's, and again, NBA playoffs, push for NBA, NHL, it's all happening. The Masters next week. I know you're looking forward to a couple things. Can you share some things that you're looking forward to, maybe walking the course, seeing the course, or a couple players you're looking forward to seeing?
So I have to admit, I've gotten really lucky with the Masters lottery. I won it twice when I was in college and couldn't go because I had tournaments myself. So we then won the lottery again in 2020, weren't able to go because of COVID.
Oh, man.
So we went last year, Tuesday practice round. We were there from like 7 a.m. as soon as it opened until maybe 11 a.m. So we saw the entire golf course. I was there with my dad and a couple uncles. And then there were storms the rest of the day. So everyone gets off the course. We don't come back. So we're there for 4, maybe 5 hours, something like that. And because the rest of the day was rained out, they said, hey, you get tickets again next year. I've already seen the golf course. I kind of know like the fun parts to watch. Watching 16 is a blast. You know, you get to see the guys try to skip the ball. You get a really nice view of the approach shots coming in on 13 or on 15, mm-hmm. I should say. So I think what I'm most looking forward to is just kind of going and seeing guys up close again, watching the way guys flight different shots. There are certain shots that we didn't get to watch last year. Like I'd like to see the approach shot on 8, the par 5 uphill. I want to see the way guys try to shape it right to left to use the contours of the ground there. Just things like that, I think, and just being a fan and not really being there trying to like scout anything out or gaining some kind of betting edge in that way, just enjoying it, being a fan of it.
It's amazing to see golf live. You know, the ball flight, you mentioned the ball flight. When I was at the Waste Management Open, I was hanging out mostly at hole 16, of course, for obvious reasons. You really see the ball flight of like, wow, he really does have a high ball flight. Like you just don't notice that as much on TV. So that's exciting. Any like, I feel like Augusta's hilly. Is it like what? Is it a hilly course?
The elevation is insane. I think one of the first things that you can do once you get there is kind of walk through the fairway of number 9, where the approach shot is pretty much directly up the hill. And until you're at the base of that hill, you kind of have no concept of just how difficult that shot is, because you know, you're watching on TV, the ball ends up on the green and you see the full picture of the green. When you're down in the fairway, you can't see any part of the surface of the green. You're lucky to see any part of the flag stick. And it makes it look like the target is infinitely smaller than it actually is. It's a really intimidating shot. But one other point I want to make on the ball flights that you just mentioned there, mm-hmm. One of the guys we saw last year on 16 was Bubba Watson. And he hit his shot to like 2 feet, but when it was in the air, it looked like it was going to be 40 yards right. And all of a sudden we're left of the green, kind of across Little Creek or whatever. And it almost looked like the ball was coming down back towards us because it was cutting so much. I don't know how far right he started it, but I know for a fact that there was no right-handed player starting the ball that far right, let alone another lefty starting it. They're just an absolutely banana shot that he hit. But yeah, that's Bubba for you.
Yeah, for sure. That's Bubba. And I did see him on 16. He was giving everybody high fives, even though he put his tee shot in the bunker. It's amazing the shape that these guys can put. I'm sure yourself as well can put on the golf ball. Me, it's just like, you know, that was a draw. Just a natural draw. You know, I just happened to do that one. Oh, cut? Yeah, I didn't mean to. It just cut perfectly for me. One more on the way out here before we turn the page on golf, maybe break, get into baseball. I think you mentioned to me like a month ago, Keith Mitchell is like a potential long shot next week. Still kind of intrigued?
Yeah. So I'll say this, like, unfortunately, I'm not going to be placing any more bets on Keith Mitchell for the Masters because I got my number. I got him at 250-1 a few weeks ago as an each way bet. So, you know, it's basically like a, I guess a 60-ish, even more than that, really. 60-ish to one for a top four, or a top five, I should say, with 1/4 payout. So, yeah, I got fortunate with that one. I think that a lot of the books were maybe unconvinced that he was going to qualify, which is why the number was so inflated. But at the time, he was, I believe, like 48th in the official World Golf Rankings, top 50 end up making it. And everyone around him, or the vast majority of guys right around him, were LIV guys. So you had that like cushion of, hey, these guys are going to drop. So it's going to be really difficult for Keith to drop any further. So I pulled the trigger on that one. And yeah, now I think he's down to like 66. So I may not have any new bets next week. Honestly, I feel like I have a pretty good card in place already, which anyone can find on the FTN bets tracker. But we'll see what happens next week. You know, a lot of the books, maybe they'll loosen the pricing from what it is right now once we get into that week. And then maybe I'll find some other values that I like.
The golf world's going to freak out if a LIV member wins the Masters, correct? Is that?
That's going to be a really, really like fascinating thing to see, because my biggest concern or my biggest issue with LIV, and the reason why I haven't been able to get interested in it at all, is I don't think that the players really care about those events. And so if the guys competing don't care, why should I care? Yeah. And along those lines, like if that's true, if they don't care, which it seems to me like they don't, right, it's going to be really hard to just kind of like flip the switch and get back into full competitive mode. Now the atmosphere of the Masters will certainly help them do that. But my expectation is that the LIV guys will struggle to immediately just have their games at their peak under that much pressure. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven completely wrong and I'll look completely foolish for that take, but that's I think that's maybe one of the most fascinating storylines going into the week.
Yeah, I'm with you actually on that take as well. To flip the switch and just all of a sudden play competitive golf where it's kind of feels like, and I haven't been totally interested in the LIV either. I haven't watched a lot of it. I do follow, you know, who wins and who does well, but it's definitely different. It's a different feel. The competitive level is just not the same. But it is the Masters. And I know a lot of the players that went over there did want to play in majors, did want to play in Ryder Cups and things like that. So we'll see what happens next week. Let's take a quick break. Hang by if you don't mind. I know you got your handprints all over the FTN daily package with opening day in Major League Baseball happening tomorrow. So a little bit of a sneak peek of what subs and people who would look maybe thinking about subbing with us, what we have to offer. We'll talk about it next here on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. Again, 24 hours away from opening day in Major League Baseball. Super exciting. It is finally here. I know that I'm excited. You're excited. All our viewers, Daily Handle in the House is exciting as well. Excited as well. FTNDaily.com/pricing for all the goods. You can get the Diamond All Exclusive Package, which will come with you know, all the sports. You can get the annual DFS package in MLB. You can sign up for the first month if you want to see what it's all about. Use the promo code Meanie Blickle, save yourself a little bit of cash. FTN TV, save yourself a little bit of cash as well. It will actually include all the sports it's offered in FTN Daily. So it's going to come with optimizers in the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA. As I mentioned off the top of the show, we have a NASCAR optimizer as well. You can learn from the pros. Alex, myself, Jones, we're all here for you. And as I mentioned also off the top of the show, not just the optimizer, we have player and ownership projections. We have a strikeout model, a home run model. We have a lot of goods. And as you see, why not sign up for free? You don't want to spend the cash right away? Head on over to FTNDaily.com/free. Sign up for free, 3 days, see what it's all about. I guarantee you guys, you will not be bummed at all. Alex, you got your handprints all over it. Why don't you share a couple things that the package does have to offer?
So yeah, I think you hit on a lot of it. The strikeout model is one of the things that I brought to FTN when I joined the team a couple of years ago. And it does a few unique things, I think. Number one, it has a really unique input, which is pitches per inning. You don't really see that used around the industry, and I found that to be a really predictive statistic that really provides some unique value that, again, like you don't get anywhere else. But we also then give a full range of outcomes, the probability that any pitcher will hit 15 DraftKings points, 20, 25, and 30 DraftKings points. You get this really nice picture of who a pitcher is. But I'll tell you what, the thing I'm most excited about for this season is the work we've done as an FTN data team. Myself, Frank, Kyle, MLB Dream, who we all know crushes MLB betting, where we really put our heads together and I'll give like a little bit of a statistic spiel here, which is one of the most important things when doing any kind of data analysis is understanding the concept of a statistic stabilizing, which in layman's terms basically means how quickly in what's like the smallest possible sample that this statistic can be reliable, that we can actually take a meaningful kind of result from something. So if a pitcher's swinging strike rate, or if his strikeout rate suddenly changes pretty drastically, how quickly can you believe in that change versus just saying, hey, he's just been really lucky over the last 10 days or that kind of thing? And what we found is that by switching the statistics that we're using from really results-based, at-bat-based statistics like strikeout rate or like WOBA allowed or ISO allowed or anything like that, and switching instead to pitches that are to statistics that work on a per pitch basis. So we're talking spin rate of a fastball, velocity of a fastball, the percentage of pitches that end up in either a called strike or a whiff, that sort of thing. We can maintain or even improve the predictive power and then use smaller samples. So basically what we're able to do then is become much more reactionary to when a pitcher is suddenly throwing the ball harder or throwing with more spin, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe he's suddenly experiencing some fatigue or a shoulder issue, and that shows up in the data before he ends up on the IL. And like, how many times a year do you see a guy get completely shelled and then immediately you get the notification, so-and-so is on the 15-day IL. So
yeah,
we can actually now get ahead of that stuff, which the market really does well, right? And so if you're looking at any projection system around the industry, know that all of those are designed to be as predictive long-term as possible, not necessarily short-term. The market, on the other hand, is very short-term based. And so our models are now able to be as reactionary as the market while still being long-term predictive. So I think we've really created something special with our MLB product, and that's going to show up in absolutely every model that we have, in the strikeout model, in the home run model, in the betting model over at FTN Bet. So yeah, I'm really, really excited for this season.
Yeah, you guys have taken it to another level. I mean, I use the strikeout model a lot, not just from a DFS standpoint. You could use it from a fantasy standpoint. You're deciding between two pitchers. You don't know which guy you want to roll out there, or maybe just a betting standpoint. You got the projection there of the strikeouts that they can get in that start. And you're right. You see it all the time. A guy, maybe you see maybe a downtick in velocity. You're unsure if there's an injury or what's happening. He gets shelled. And then the next morning, he's placed on the 15-day IL or the 10-day IL. It's hard to keep up on how many days the IL stints are these days. But we're in the same ballpark here. To see the spin rate and the velocity and to have that instant kind of analysis and reaction is super key, man. So I love that tool. Like I said, there's a lot that we really do have to offer over at FTN Daily. So you can hop on over for free and check it out. Any pitchers that you have your eyes on that you think are in for maybe big breakout seasons this year? I think I saw you and Dream tweeting about Hunter Green.
Yeah, I think he's kind of our guy. We were actually just discussing a couple hours ago, like what we expect his opening K prop to be. If it's this, we're hammering it. If it's this, we're still probably getting it, that sort of thing. So I know. I have him projected for, I believe, 6.9 strikeouts tomorrow. I think Frank and the new and improved model has him for 7.5. So let's hope for 5.5 as his line, even if it's 6.5, as long as the odds aren't really juiced towards the over. I'll be betting that, and I'll be betting a full ladder all the way up. So I think my betting this year, I'm really excited for a handful of things. But number one, strikeout ladders. I think that's the most obvious one. But with the changes to baseball, where you now have slightly bigger bases, pitcher can only attempt to pick off twice, and then he's also on a clock, it's going to be easier for guys to steal bases. And so I'm super excited to fire away at some same game parlay, like just stolen base parlays early on in the season. I think I had some success with those last year, and you can really find some pitchers who are vulnerable. And basically, like, the whole premise there is that I think the sports books underestimate how much correlation exists when it comes to those same game parlays for stolen bases, because there are certain pitchers or catchers or duos there where a team is going to go into the game with the game plan of every single chance we get to run, we're going to run, and we're going to test these guys as much as we possibly can. So, you know, you're going to get games where a guy is on first and a perfect opportunity to steal, and he's not even going to try because it's just not in their game plan. And then there are going to be other days where even the slower guys, the guys who you don't think of as base stealers, are going to be going any chance they get. So I think that correlation is phenomenal. and it makes for some really, really fun same game parlays.
It's such a good call. And you and myself and Gove and Kyle, we're going to take care of the people, you know, of course, and Dream, everybody in our FTN betting tracker, but also here on our YouTube page as well with some props, some prize pick stuff and some ladders, as you mentioned. I've already heard several players talk about maybe being more aggressive on the base pass. Mm-hmm. Every time that Noah Syndergaard took the ball last year, was we always, you know, jumped on ladders and jumped on stolen base props. But I think it's easier for players to time it out as well, mm-hmm. because with that pitch clock, there's so many guys that hold on to the ball that have held on the ball for so long. And that really does throw off the batters. And now when you have that pitch clock, you know, it's a good feel. You get a good feel with the bat, with the runner on first base or on second, like he's got a pitch here and I'm going. Right. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how books adjust with stolen base props. Cause if they start off like they did last year, there's going to be some terrific value and they may adjust as it goes on. Hunter Green, I'm with you. I'm not seeing any strikeout props just yet. He's -140 to record a win against the Reds. I take anything over 7.5. Actually, my favorite pitcher on the Reds is actually Nick Lodolo, but I think both guys are absolute studs. I think that both guys can flirt with like 180 plus strikeouts. If they get to like 165, 75 innings, they're going to flirt with that number. There's no question. Blickle, you're a stud, dude. Phillies, I know there's been a couple issues lately, you know, with Rhys Hoskins, unfortunately, but I still like their squad, man. If they can just kind of go through the motions over the first little bit, get Harper back in the lineup. I love the rotation. Like, I really do. I like Nola atop the rotation. The guy's a horse. I think he could win NL Cy Young, and I wouldn't be shocked. But the expectations in Philadelphia, you know, getting to the World Series, the expectations, I assume, you know, let's try to get back there. It's a tough NL East, though.
Yeah, hopefully Andrew Painter gets healthy soon and can join the rotation. I think that would be a big boost because the fifth spot in the rotation, I think, is the big question mark at the moment. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the Hoskins injury, it stinks as a fan because what a fun ride he had in the postseason last year. Just big home run after big home run. Yeah, in between that were some errors and a lot of strikeouts, but the timeliness of those home runs, incredible memories. I don't think that injury is that harmful to the chances this year because I think Derek Hall is kind of ready. I think he's ready to step in. Maybe he's going to have to be platooned, but one of the big changes this year as well is the fact that teams won't be able to shift the way they have in years past. So power hitting lefty, like he stands to benefit more than most from that. So I think he can end up playing a big part in the Philly success. And I kind of think that he's maybe like the leverage point of the season. If he plays really well, if he hits really well, then the Phillies might be quite good again. And if he's not, then we're really going to miss Hoskins bat and maybe we'll kind of stink.
I don't think you're going to stink. Talking about Trey Turner as a potential MVP, right? If he has this really hot first 2 months before Harper gets back, like the ballpark switch from Dodger Stadium to Citizens Bank. Talked about the stolen bases. You know, he's a guy that can give you 20 stolen bases. Yeah. Had a great World Baseball Classic, can hit you 20 bombs, maybe score 100 runs for you. And Hall is a guy that we mentioned on the show last week as one of the undervalued hitters, the guy that you can take with your last pick. And maybe he is platooning early and maybe not. Maybe he's just hitting in that cleanup spot for the first
couple of weeks. I would expect him to just be in the lineup unless he comes out really slowly against left-handed pitching. And then I think they'd explore a platoon. But yeah, man, Trey Turner is super exciting in this lineup. I think especially once Harper gets back, like one of the things that maybe people don't recognize is just how much easier it is to hit when the pitcher has to worry about holding a guy on base. And so once we get Realmuto and Harper and Hall hitting while the pitcher has to worry about Trey Turner, man, that's when we could get really, really dangerous. So I'm very excited to see that. I think he's going to be one of the guys who just out of the gate is exceptionally aggressive on the base paths.
I agree. I wouldn't be shocked if you led the bigs in stolen bases. Always appreciate your time, man. I love chopping it up with you. I know we will do it again soon. Good luck with all the golf this weekend. Enjoy the trip with your father and your family. If you want to chop it up on Monday, hit me up. But all means, don't worry about it. Enjoy the time. I want you to have a good time there. I don't want you to have to worry about mean streets here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll say goodbye to Blickle for now. We do have some MLB predictions. You're going to run through the division winners. Who's going to play in the World Series? We got some NL, AL MVP stuff for you, as well as Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. It's all happening here next on Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back. And let's take a look at the Cy Young odds via DraftKings. We have NL Cy Young and AL Cy Young. So let's start here in the NL. Thank you for this, Quan. Our guy George always getting it done. So Sandy Alcantara up at the top at plus 450. Corbin Burns at plus 550. We have Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. Verlander, of course, won last year in the AL. Now a member of the New York Mets at 6-1. Scherzer at 8-1. Spencer Strider at plus 950. Max Fried at 10-1. We have Gallen at 11-1. Zach Wheeler there at 12-1. We have Aaron Nola, who we talked about with Blickle in the last block. You know, Aaron Nola, I wouldn't be shocked if he got it done. He's just like a horse, man. Like, what you can expect from Aaron Nola is a guy that's going to give you, you know, 200 innings. He doesn't walk a lot of dudes. The ratios are going to be great. You know, I don't really take a look at wins. You know, I think that maybe the voters take a look at wins a little bit. I know several years ago, I think it was like 8 or 9 years ago, I feel like I remember Verlander winning on just, I don't think he had a great year, but he had a bunch of wins, a bunch of W's. They got all excited and give him the AL MVP talk about all that nonsense at the time. Anyways, Nola, I think, is a decent shot here at 12-1. Brendan Woodruff at 19-1. I think Urias is a good shot here at 20-1 as well. Really like what he has to offer. Yu Darvish at 25-1. Daily Handle in the house looking for a long shot. I think that one's okay at 25-1. I think if I'm looking for a long shot on this board, and, you know, Hunter Green we gave some love to, I just don't think that he is ready just yet. A high fly ball rate. He's going to give up a lot of bombs. He doesn't play in the best pitcher's ballpark, and the command is going to be an issue. There's no question he can strike guys out. I think Nick Lodolo is a better long shot than Hunter Green. I think he's got a little bit more command. Six of his last eight starts last year were quality starts. And as I mentioned, Nick Lodolo, I don't even know if you have the Quan, do you have the Lodolo board of just like some of his statistics? I know we're kind of getting off track here because he's not even on the board for a Cy Young. He's 75-1 over at Bet Rivers to win the Cy Young, but I wouldn't be shocked if he had such a hot start to the season in the first month where maybe he was like 40-1 or 35-1. FanDuel and BetMGM has 40-1. But some of the statistics just off the top of my head, if I remember correctly, about Nick Lodolo, an opponent batting average of like 203 was the 10th best mark in the second half of baseball. His swing strike percentage, his strikeout percentage, his Sierra, his ERA, all top. Like, look, yeah, thank you, dude. Look at this stuff. And in the second half, next to the So Rare a ball card here, 77 innings, 93 strikeouts, 27 walks, a 10.87 K per nine, 30% strikeout rate, 2.92 ERA, 2.03 opponent batting average. The K per nine and the strikeout percentage, along with the opponent batting average, those were all top 10 marks in the second half of last season. Now, he's not going to get a lot of W's. And again, you know, I think voters do look at W's here and there, but ultimately this guy, I think he's a stud. Jeffrey Springs is not on the board. He's 90-1 at DraftKings to win the Cy Young, and on FanDuel at FanDuel he's 200-1. Those, like, that's just the darling of him, and Reed Detmers are the darlings of spring training. Detmers is 100-1 at BetMGM and 200-1 at FanDuel. I may put like a 0.1 unit on those guys, but back to the main board. The guy for me is Spencer Strider. How do you have 202 strikeouts in 131 innings? Are you kidding me? 131 innings, his first full season in the big. So let's give him 150 innings this season. Let's just say 150 innings. Well, how many strikeouts is he going to have? 225, 230? I mean, it's certainly possible. You know, it's amazing. He doesn't have a lot of pitches. He really only throws two pitches, like a fastball that, you know, is an average last year of 98 and the slider at 86. And then he has the change, which he only threw 4% of the time last year. But, man, he's got stuff. Even with this, those two pitches, the heat and then the slider, it's both are elite. Maybe he throws the change a little bit more to keep pitchers, you know, off or hitters off balance rather. But a 2.67 ERA last year and a 2.30 xFIP and a 1.83 FIP. That's my pick for the Cy Young. And listen, I do believe there's still some value there with Scherzer at 8-1 and Nola at 12-1. Long shot there at Snell, 35-1. Lodolo at 75-1. But Strider, let's switch over to the AL. Cy Young here. What do we have? DeGrom up the top. I mean, listen, who's going to make this bet? For one, it's plus 550. And yeah, if he has 150 innings, would I be shocked? No, he probably wins it with 150 innings. But when's the last time Jacob DeGrom had 150 innings? I mean, 64 last year, 92 in 2021, the shortened season, 68. He had three straight seasons from 2017 to 2019 with 200 innings. The guy's a stud. When he's healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball. I truly believe that. He doesn't walk anybody. He's had a 14 K per nine in each of the last two seasons. I mean, his strikeout percentage has been 42 and 45% over the last 2 years. It's absurd. I think he is going to a tougher league. I think he's going to face some tougher opponents inside the AL West. I know that not everybody, it's not so many divisional games this year as years past, but still tougher opponents, right? Even in the AL East, tougher opponents, no question. Nobody's making that bet at plus 550. Gerrit Cole at 650, Alec Manoah at 8-1. I think that's a sucker bet as well. I don't think he's going to have the strikeouts to compete. I would rather take a shot. If you're looking for a J, I think Kevin Gausman is a better shot than Alec Manoah. He's a guy that's got great command, doesn't walk a lot of dudes, 10K per nine, good defense behind him, run support. I really like the Blue Jays. We'll give them some love here in a little bit on this show, but I really like what they have to offer. Dylan Cease at 9-1, Shane Bieber at plus 950. Carlos Rodon already dealing with an injury, 10-1. That's a bit of a sucker bet there. I just don't like to put my money on guys that are already dealing with something. Shohei Ohtani. I think Shohei Ohtani at 12-1. I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. People don't view him that way. They really don't. Last year, nobody talked about him enough. His strikeout props were like 6.5. He was getting double-digit strikeouts. He's been electric at home in each of the past two seasons. One of the best home records in all of baseball. And not just records with wins. I'm talking like strikeout numbers and allowing runs and allowing hits. And he's been fantastic. He's certainly going to be motivated this year. We talk about motivation with Blickle. It's funny now to talk about motivation, but I mean, the dude is looking for $1 billion next year. But Shohei at 12-1, even in a six-man rotation, and if you're the Halos, you're using this guy. You're using him because maybe he's not on your team next year. So I don't know how much they stick to a six-man rotation. I think this guy is going to get more innings this year than next year. Shane McClanahan is my call, though, at 12-1. I love McClanahan. I love what he has to offer. We had him last year in the Bet Tracker at 28-1, you know, and Verlander got that award. So I think maybe he's going to be knocking on the door again this time. On the right, you know, I think you could make a case for Christian Javier. I'm a sucker for Javier as well. This is a guy that could get to 200 strikeouts as long as he is healthy this season. So kind of to wrap, I think Ohtani and McClanahan at 12-1, and then I would go Javier at 8-1 and Gausman, as I just mentioned, you know, Daily Handle's talking Gausman. I think Gausman over Alec Manoah if you are looking for a bluebird. And speaking of the bluebirds, we're going to break and talk about them here next. I got some predictions. Also, a free article at ftnfantasy.com where all of us over at FTN, we gave all of our predictions. Division winners, World Series, best fantasy player, fantasy bust, best sleeper, hitter, and pitcher, as well as MVP odds, all that stuff. Kyle Murray in the house. There it is. Christian Javier, AL Cy Young winner. I do like that call. That, for me, will be in the Bet Tracker, along with Ohtani and Shane McClanahan. Those are my three. We're going to break, and we got some more MLB predictions. And look for Kyle on the show later this week. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Take a look at the AL and NL Rookie of the Year odds here first, Quan, before we bring up the predictions. So it'd be weird for me not to say Anthony Volpe because in the Bet Tracker from like almost a couple weeks ago, I have him at 10-1 to win the Rookie of the Year. Now, he made the lineup. He's a Yankee. Got all that stuff, all the narrative stuff. I mean, it is a thing in baseball, right? It really is a thing in baseball with these voters, but I think that Yoshida's going to win it. I think Masataka Yoshida's going to win AL Rookie of the Year. Gunnar Henderson is the best player on the left, even on the right. You know, he is the guy. He is a stud, and it's not really – I'm not selecting him or not selecting him because he's plus 265. I do believe Masataka Yoshida is going to have a really good average, and I think that does say a lot. You know, I watched him in the World Baseball Classic. It was really the first look that I got at him. And, you know, I saw him hit a home run to right on one leg. He can hit big league pitching. He's going to hit in the cleanup spot for the Red Sox. You know, if Tristan Casas falters as a leadoff guy, he could potentially lead off for the Red Sox. But I think he's going to come with a 300 average. I think he could drive in like 75 plus runs. I think he can hit 20 home runs. So he's going to be my pick at 5-1. But Volpe, you know, if unfortunately, the 10-1 is gone. If you have that pick, you know, from, I think myself, I believe Josh Gross and maybe even Dream have it. We've been talking about it a lot in the Discord channel lately. He's a guy that's got a lot of speed. I just don't think the plate skills are going to be there from him. I don't know if he's going to be a good enough hitter to get out of that nine spot. Maybe if there's an injury to LeMahieu, we're seeing him lead off from time to time, but I don't think he's going to come with the same type of ratios. Like, I think he's a 250 hitter, and yeah, he could, maybe he's a 2020 guy, but I think on the right side, Corbin Carroll's better suited for a 2020 season this year. I like everything that he has to offer. He's got a ton of speed in 2022 across three levels, including the majors, only 21 games. This guy stole 33 bags and flirted with 30 home runs. I think he can have a 2020 season here. I think he's going to flirt with 600 plate appearances. I think the Diamondbacks lineup is actually pretty sneaky as well. Maybe he only hits 260, but he's a guy that's my pick. Anyways, as we transition here into overall predictions, again, free article over at ftnfantasy.com with everybody's predictions here. Quan, if you can transition over to that when you get a second. Good, sir. Thank you so much. Kyle Schwarber is my pick to lead the NL in home runs. I was close with Ronald Acuna Jr. I went with Kyle Schwarber. I got Mike Trout at AL. He was right on pace with Judge before the injury. And when he came back, I mean, he was seven straight games of the home run. He was just electric down the stretch. I got Bobby Witt Jr. as close to Ronald Acuna Jr. as well, but I can't put Ronald Acuna Jr. everywhere. As you see, I got him all over the place. I have him to win the NL MVP. I have Vlad Guerrero Jr. win the AL MVP. The thing with the AL MVP, it's not enough time to get into it. I've said it so many times. I tweeted it out earlier. I think the Otani should win it every year. There should be a separate award for him. He should have won it last year. I just think it's a sucker bet. The Halos are in a tough spot. If they're not in a playoff spot by trade deadline, what do? You just hold them? You can't trade them because you don't want to trade a player like that, but then you have to trade him because you need pieces for your organization to grow as a franchise. And if he does get traded, he's not winning. That's it. If he gets traded, he's not going to win the award. And if he gets traded, Mike Trout won't win the award because they're no longer close to the playoffs. But I went with Vlad Guerrero Jr. I think the Jays are in for a big season. As you see, I have them winning the ALCS. I have them winning the World Series. I have the Padres winning the NL West, and I have them winning the NLCS. I have the Yankees, the Mariners, and yes, I went down the road with the Halos to make the playoffs, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Phillies, the White Sox to win the Central. I was on the Guardians. I went White Sox last second. Astros to win the West, East, Braves, Cardinals in the Central. And you see the rookies there and the Cy Young winners there as well. And Jordan Romano to lead the league in saves. I think we're in for a big season when it comes to the Bluebirds. I got an NHL prop right on Mean Streets back in just 2 minutes. Free NHL picks quickly. Sign up for free and get the rest. FTMBets.com/free. Austin Matthews over 4.5 shots is +105 over at FanDuel. He's 20 shots on goal in his last two games. 20 shots on goal in his last two games. I did not misspeak at all. 15 shots the other night in a hockey game. 15 shots. Five in his last game. He's had 5+ shots and 6 of his last 9. He also has goals, 8 goals in his last 10. I think he scores tonight, and 2 points +125 against the leaky Florida Panthers, who are a bloody mess. I really like Matthews tonight. Joel Eriksson Ek over 2.5 shots. He's had at least 4 shots in back-to-back games. Only cleared in like 4 of his last 7, but I do like the price at -125. And then Dylan Strome for a point. He's hit the score sheet in 10 of his last 11 games, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 multi-point showings over that span. Tough spot against Sorokin, but I like that he's playing with Alex Ovechkin, and he's playing really good hockey. Pick him up in your season-long format en route to a championship. We're out of here. Baseball tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.